Thank you, Joel, for giving your testimony this morning. It is our tradition every month to have someone give their testimony. At least it has been for the last 6 months. So there'll be people in the future until we run out of people that give their testimony, telling us how the Lord saved their soul and how teaching the Bible rightly divided really does change your life from the inside out. It changes what you see church being. It changes what you see the Lord Jesus Christ as. And it really changes the way you respond to God. And so this morning I want to deal with pressing on. Our objectives for 2015. What kind of job did we do this last year? How well did we do what we're supposed to be doing here at Grace Ambassadors? Okay, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be in 2 Timothy a lot today. And so if you stick around there, you'll be in the right place. Brother Terry McLean, who preached at the seminar, likes to talk about the grace movement and says it's not really moving at all. Someone should throw a stick down to see if it's even moving. And you know, people laugh when you say that because it's funny, but it's a truth. Are we going anywhere in the grace movement? And more so than that, when you are evaluating how far we've come, you need to set markers down. You need to stop every now and then and say, you know what, let's plant a flag here to see how far we went from last time we checked where we were at. And hopefully it's farther along. Hopefully you've been growing. You're only on this world a short time, and it's been 12 months since we've had this lesson, the same lesson we do every year, asking ourselves, have we gone further? Have we grown in ourselves? Has the ministry done what it's supposed to be doing? And what are we going to do next year? Okay. So it's important to mark where we're at so we can judge how far we've come. 10 years ago, this year, I went through Terry McLean's Dispensational Bible Institute, graduated the institute, his 60 hours there, and part of his institute proficiency exam is setting goals. And he asks you the goals you have for 1 year later, 5 years later, 20 years later. And if you want to know my goals, stay later for the work ministry meeting. I'll tell you about those. But my goals have been fulfilled in this. It's interesting. I look back then, and we didn't have a building. I didn't know what I was talking about even very much. I was just learning it for the first time. But I knew that what I was supposed to be doing was seeing souls saved, starting a church, was doing this ministry work. And what we see here is a place, the only place in central Indiana, that you can find the Bible believing rightly divided. The only place you can find the teaching of the cross, according to Pauline dispensationalism, it's the only place you can find it. And it's here. And you people are here as a part of that. And you guys adorn that doctrine. When you come out and you participate and you attend here, it adorns that. When visitors come and they see you here. In the seminar, we had 100-plus people on Saturday. And many of those people were you people. And when they come and see the people here and the things that you are learning and the excitement you have for the doctrine, it adorns that doctrine. It decorates it. It makes it exciting for other people to see that it does work. And your testimony to that, you are the fulfillment of that. And so as I look back and see what kind of job have I done, have we done as Grace Ambassadors, we've come a long way in 10 years. Wow, there's pews. There wasn't pews before. There was my couch in the living room, and that was it. But now there's pews. There's hundreds of books that we give out. There's a seminar we do every year, and people come from places that, wow, you paid flight tickets to come out to Swayze, Indiana? That's your Christmas vacation? Yeah, they do. And so they come out here and they participate in this ministry because it's important. They see the value in it. Okay? And so we're going to talk this morning about how to evaluate what we've done and how to go places. Now, if we're going to ask about how we get places, how do we get from 10 years ago with nothing to here? And you say, 10 years is a long time, Justin. You're really slow going, right? Well, okay, maybe you could have done it faster, and great. Maybe other people can do it faster, then great. But we need to go the same direction. How do you go someplace? Well, you need to get your direction right, and then you just take steps forward. And you keep taking steps forward all the time, consistently, steps forward in the right direction. You keep moving. Okay? Faithfulness is the issue there in going the right direction, getting places. You may have the right direction. If you're not taking steps, you're not going anywhere. If you have the wrong direction, you're taking steps, you're getting somewhere wrong, you see. And so to go places, we need to make sure we're going the right direction and keep moving. So there's a few questions I'm asking this morning on our pressing on exam to see how we've been doing and where we're going. And the first one's going to be, have you found your church yet? Because here we are in 2014, going on 2015. Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, like I said, the only Bible Believing Mid-Axe Church in Central Indiana, if not farther. And I'm asking the question, have you found your church yet? And maybe you have. Maybe you say, well, yeah, I have. This is it. This is where I need to be. But a lot of people attend church not really knowing if that's the place they want to be. There's always an escape route in their mind. I'm just waiting for that thing that I disagree with, and then I'll exercise my right of departure and leave, right? Because people attend places where they feel comfortable. They attend places that their family goes to. They attend places that, like Joel was talking about, matches their tradition. And they don't actually determine which place teaches the right thing. And so the question we ask is, have you found your church yet? 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, Paul says, I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In verse 12, he knows some things, and he's persuaded. Okay, you have the privilege in our country of having hundreds of churches to decide from, the church of your choice. But your choice needs to be on right doctrine. The choice should not be, well, where's my family going? Or where have we gone for the last 100 years? You know, it should be based on where is right doctrine being taught. That is the primary function of church. At least it should be. And so when Paul says, I'm persuaded, I know some things, you need to know some things. When you come to the point where you know things, when you know some things about what's right in doctrine, you need to think about, where is that being taught? And if it's being taught there, have you found your church yet? Are you part of that? Is it your church, or is it someplace you go, you know, and visit, hoping to squeeze all you can out of it, but it's not really yours? Okay. What I'm trying to say here is that what we're doing, what we've been doing the last year, the years, and what we're going to do next year, should be part of you. Should be part of what we do together. Okay. It should be your church, your ministry. 10 years ago, it was me and my sister, me and my brother. That's a family. That's not really a church. Here, there's lots of people I'm not related to, except for in Christ Jesus. Okay? That's a church assembly of people who come around right doctrine, perform the function of edification and growth and ministry. Okay? This is a church. And this is what we're doing. And so the only membership, of course, that you have is in Christ. I'm not collecting membership rolls this morning. I'm not telling you, well, who's not a member here this morning? You need to go through our survey and application and pass the test, become a member of Grace Ambassador. That's not it at all. The only membership you ever have is the membership in the body of Christ when you hear the gospel of your salvation. And yet, there's a time when you need to stop hunting. There's a time when you need to stop saying, you know, I'm still open to find which church I want to go to. When you learn what's right and you find a place that teaches right, plant down. Start getting involved in doing church ministry. Make it yours. So, have you found your church yet? And so hopefully many of you say, yeah, I've found it. If not, then maybe you're not persuaded. Maybe you don't know enough yet whether or not what we teach is right or wrong. I don't want you to take my word for it. You study it yourself to make sure what we're teaching here and what we're doing and the direction we're going is the right direction. Is the direction you need to be going. But if it is, why not come along with us? Why not be a part of it? Make it your church ministry. Okay? So your choice of church ought to be based on sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. And so the idea of a church ministry is that you learn the sound words. That's when you study your Bible and you learn what's right. But more so than that, you hold to it. You see, so you have the form of sound words. You understand the gospel clearly. It's not your works. It's not the flannel graph, right? It's not confessing your sins. It's not building yourself up as a good person, but instead it is Christ's death on the cross for your sins. And so the simple gospel truth. But more so than that, how do we grow in the knowledge of the truth, as God's will is in 1 Timothy 2:4? Well, we need to study the Bible and study it rightly divided. Okay? And so once you have the form of sound words, you need to hold fast to it. The church, some people like to compare the church, at least in grace circles where we emphasize study, as a school. So you come here to learn things, right? But it's not a perfect analogy, because in a school, you go there to learn some things and then you leave, right? You don't go to school forever, you go there for a few years, and you're gone. You graduate. Well, church isn't exactly like that, okay? You do learn things. You should be learning how to study the Bible in church, and yet the church is a lifelong purpose, okay? and being a part of a church ministry. And again, it's something you need to be persuaded in your own mind about what's about the doctrine there in order to be a part of it. And so what we're talking about in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, when he says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. In verse 14, it says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. You see the emphasis of what Paul's saying here? He said, hold fast. Keep that which you know, which we're persuaded of. If you're not persuaded, you need to study. If you are persuaded, you need to make a decision to hold to it, to keep it, to be one of the keepers of it. Okay, to be a part of the pillar and the ground of the truth. So we're talking about being persuaded. We're talking about being on board with something for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You say, well, I'm not ready for that sort of commitment, Justin. But it's not to me, you see. It's to right doctrine. It's to church ministry, teaching right doctrine and doing God's will according to the Bible rightly divided. Being on board for that, when you stop and think about that, it will change your perspective. Perhaps your direction isn't exactly there. Okay, you think about setting goals for 1 year from now. What are we going to do for next year? This is easy to do. You say, well, we'll all be around for next year. What about 5 years from now? What ought we to do? 5 years. Okay, well, a lot of things in my life are going to be changed. My children may be older by then. You know, maybe I'll be on Social Security by then. I don't know. Right? What about 20 years from now? A lot of things will be different in 20 years. A lot of things will be different in 20 years. Will you still be holding fast the form of sound words that you know today, that you're persuaded of today? Will you still be keeping that which was committed to your trust as an ambassador of Jesus Christ in 20 years from now? Or is it still open that perhaps maybe I'll go somewhere else and perhaps I'll do something else? I don't know. Right? So that's the question. Have you found your church yet? The church that teaches right doctrine that you can be a part of for 5 years, for 10 years, for 20 years. Okay? And it needs to happen. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect and you have to agree with everything I say. Part of church ministry, of course, is we're all growing up in right doctrine and knowledge of the truth. And so when you're persuaded, you're a part and we can grow together. Have you found your church yet? Faithfulness is the virtue we're looking for here. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 14, keep that which was committed unto thee. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The church that is yours should be strong in the grace. It shouldn't be a religious church. It should be a grace church, right? Have you found your grace church yet? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Have you found a church that will strengthen you in grace, that will teach you how to walk under grace? Have you found your church yet? The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so we covered before, that's our agenda here. That's our purpose. That's the goal of what the church ought to be doing, is creating faithful men. Not just collecting men, but creating faithful men. That entails instruction, but also motivation to hold fast. Motivation to do the work, you see. And so teaching faithful men to teach others also is what the church ought to be doing. Have you found your church yet that will do that? And hopefully that's what this is. Right. Hopefully that's what we've done. Hopefully we've learned that in 2014. We did two series in 2014 about the church. Talking about what is a Pauline church, talked about church boundaries. And we talked a few series elsewhere in the summer about how to study the Bible for yourself. Right? Trying to create workmen. We spent years, I've known many of you for years, teaching the basics of right division. But you get past that and you start learning, well, how is the church supposed to be operating? How am I supposed to do it on my own? Right? I hear what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, but how do I do it? And so we spent a lot of time on that in 2014. Is that helpful to you? Maybe I'm not doing a good job. Have you found your church yet? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2 says that if any man... Well, I'll just turn to the verse here instead of misquoting it. We're looking back in the last year and looking forward in the next year to see if we were faithful, to see if we have been or if we need to be. Because that's what God desires. Above all else, God wants faithfulness. Not faithfulness to error, mind you. If you're going the wrong way and you take 100 steps, you're going the wrong way 100 steps. He wants you in the right direction, but faithfulness is what he wants. It's not how many steps you're taking, 1 step or 10 steps, it's that you're going the right direction taking steps. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Do you know what to minister? The gospel of Christ? And do you know what the mystery of God is? Okay. But look at verse 2. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There's many people who come to our website. There's many people, visitors, that have come here or that have mentioned to me about their learning the mystery of Christ and learning to rightly divine. And then I never hear from them again. They're gone. Because there's not a faithfulness to it. They've learned it. They got it. They'll keep it, among 100 other things that they're learning. Okay. God wants faithfulness. If you're to be a steward of the mysteries of God, if you're to be a grace ambassador, and I don't mean in the sense of a member here, but God's ambassador of grace, you need to become a faithful workman. And so, have you found your church yet that's able to encourage you to do that? Okay, that's something we need to ask ourselves in the last year. Or have we failed to do that? We failed to create faithful people and failed to provide what you need to grow in faithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's look at verse 3. Have you found our church yet? Maybe some of you say, well, I'm still trying to find that out. Others may say, yeah, I found my church. I'm part of a church here. We're doing church ministry. People are patterning their ministry after what we're doing, rightly divided. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 3. And 1 Timothy. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do we break a sweat this year for the Lord? Did we do work? Because being a faithful steward means you're a soldier. You understand that there's a long-term goal that God has for you on this planet. Yes, he wants you to be saved, to learn the gospel. That's easy. It takes a second. It takes a minute to learn the gospel, to put your trust in it. It's nothing at all. And it changes your life. To be faithful is a lifelong thing. You see, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's who you are when you're saved. God did not save you just to leave you here, not to do anything. He ordained you to do good works. He gave you the tools to be thoroughly furnished unto good works. 2 Timothy 3:17. He's made you, in fact, it says here in verse 4, he's chosen you to be a soldier. Okay? We are his soldiers. That is more of an apt description of what a church ought to be like. An armory? A place where soldiers go to sign up to be a soldier, learn what it means to be a soldier, train to be a soldier, and when soldiers have been working and need some rest, they come back and get some rest. That's more like what a church is. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to do the work, and the work, the hard part of the work, is the faithfulness, folks. It's not hard to preach the gospel. It's not even hard, even though for a lot of you it's a big learning curve, to learn how to study the Bible rightly divided. Okay? I know there's a big learning curve when there's no understanding what the Bible says, but once you've learned it, once you got it, it's like falling off a log. It's easy. Okay? And we can help with that. But the hard part about enduring hardness as a good soldier is the faithfulness. Because you want to quit. You face distractions. You don't want to keep going. I already got that down. I don't need to be a part of it. I don't need to do the work. So, what keeps you from serving the Lord? Are you doing work? Did we do work this last year? And what can we do this next year to serve the Lord? So these are questions we ask in our job review, in our evaluation. Verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Wow. There's a lot of things in this life that I'm entangled with. That we're entangled with. There's a lot of distractions in this life that will distract you from being the soldier of Jesus Christ. You are the soldier. You have the position. But whether you're warring or not, whether you're doing the work of one, whether you're being the faithful steward, has to do with how entangled you are or not with this life. Wow. Because aren't we all entangled in some way? We've got houses. We've got jobs. We've got responsibilities that are very carnal, very mundane. They have to do with this life. And so there has to be constant vigilance to set our affections on things above, to remind ourselves of the spiritual responsibility we have to ourselves, to our family, to God. Right? No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. So again, the distraction of this life, wanting to please ourselves. You feel it? I feel it. I'm there. You're there. There's lots of things in this life that we can please ourselves with. And there's nothing that feels bad about it. Right? It's so easy. No one's going to shoot a lightning bolt at your head if you please yourself. No one's going to come to your house under grace and judge you under the law because of something you've done to please yourself. In fact, a lot of things you do for self-gratification aren't even against the law. They're just pleasing yourself. Things are nothing really wrong with at all. It's just self-pleasure. Right? And Paul says, to be a good soldier requires you not be entangled with the affairs of this life, that you may please him who hath chosen you to be a soldier. Wow, that takes constant remembrance, reminding yourself of who you are, which is why we meet, right? And we come here to remind ourselves of our responsibility. Because every week, you know, we're entangled with this life. We need to realize that the life that we have in Christ is a different life than the one we're living now. And we need to live accordingly. Okay? So you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. You're not a passenger in this life, saved by God's grace, just floating through. You're not a consumer. You're not here just to consume on your own lusts, which, well, that's what consumption's about, right? You getting what you want. It's about you being the servant of the Lord, about you growing to be the soldier of the Lord. And so that's a part of what we do here. Are you a part of that? Have you broken a sweat for the Lord? Have we been providing opportunities to do work? And what can we do in the year to come? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 that he doesn't beat the air. He doesn't run uncertainly. He knows where he's running. He does so with a plan and a purpose. And he says in verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2, that, or verse 5 rather, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So it's not just the work, it's what kind of work, right? It's the sort of work, it's the right work. We just don't flail our arms doing work for the Lord. We have to do the right work. See souls saved, saints edified, do his will, right? To be thankful in all things. To, in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says to avoid fornication, to walk in sanctification, his will. Specific things, okay? We have to strive lawfully, doing the right thing, if we're going to strive to master what we've been told to do. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, it says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. That is what's supposed to be happening in our church meetings. Are we doing it? You know, are you being prepared so that you can be used as a workman when opportunity arises, raises itself? Are you being prepared or are you not? Maybe your not being prepared has to do with you and you not wanting to be and you not desiring it. Or maybe it's my fault. Maybe you need to tell me how you need to be better prepared, as Paul says that he wants to fill up that which is lacking, right? In 2 Timothy 2. How are we doing on that? Because we should be creating vessels meet for the master's use. There are lots of vessels in the master's house, Paul says, and if you're saved by the gospel, the grace of God, you're saved. You have eternal life. You're complete in Christ, right? And yet you're here with a responsibility. And so we're going to face the Lord in judgment. He's going to not ask, hey, are you saved? Because he knows if you are. He knows if you put your trust already in what Christ already did. You're going to face the Lord, who's your head, your master. He's going to say, hey, great, what kind of work did you do? How faithful were you to it? What happened there? What sort of work? What direction were you walking? Well, I was already saved, so I just walked this way. Well, that's not the right way. Well, yeah, but it's not by works, right, Lord? So we have a responsibility to use our life for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15 says, we're constrained by the love of Christ. We have a mission. We're soldiers. Our mission is to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. Our tool is the Word of God. Our battlefield is the minds and the hearts of men. Our warfare is for souls. It's about people, right? So we come here to get equipped, to get trained, to know how to do that. How are we doing with that? Say, well, I see the same faces I have for a long time. So sometimes it's hard, you get kind of familiar, to know whether or not we're growing or not, whether or not we're having an effect, whether or not we're warring the right way. And so I've got a few comments here from the website, because often you don't see the effect that we have and what we're doing on people who aren't attending here with us because they can't. And you saw a glimpse of that at the seminar. If you were out, you saw the folks who came out and were just excited to be in a place because they don't have one where they live that teaches the Bible rightly divided. They've never seen one. Okay, they've never seen a church. They've never seen a church that rightly divides the Bible. They've heard people on the internet talk about it. They've read things and emails about it. They've never been to one that practices the Bible rightly divided, that teaches the gospel of the grace of God without religion, okay, without the abusing tithing, as Jeremy talked about in the seminar, right? It's so odd. Some churches will teach grace one week, and the next week they teach the law tithing. Just crazy. Because you can't be that consistent and survive. Churches are closing down because they don't have money. And we're not. We got money in the bank. And we're operating, and we're continually operating according to the principles of grace, according to how God would have the church operate today. From the website, great job from you all. The messages have further deepened my understanding and encouraged me further to do the work of an ambassador. Thank you all for your hard work. Thank you so much for the teaching of his pure and errant preserved word of truth, rightly divided. Thank you for the tireless work amongst those who don't even know that we're listening from over across the ocean to your family. Someone else says, I do enjoy your messages and thank the Lord for you who is so committed to teaching his word rightly divided. Many of these people are isolated. They don't have a Bible study. They don't have a church that teaches it rightly divided. Thank you for posting to YouTube. We feel that we finally understand communion, salvation by faith in Jesus and grace. Wow. Enjoyed my short time at your church. I had hoped to come Sunday before last, but something came up. I plan to visit again soon. I will be enjoying your lessons online in the meantime. Thank you so much. Someone else says, thank you so much for making the word so simple and clear to understand. Thank you for your dedication, your labor to study, and for the sharing of the information. I'm about to complete the Corinthians series. We did that, 3 years ago? All right, it's online now. I live and work in Saudi Arabia. It's 14 months now, and the more I study with you and listen, the more sound doctrine works in me. It's wonderful. My family's involved now considering it. Someone else says, thank you so much for your ministry and dedication. How are we doing? I like that. That's paycheck. That's good stuff. I think we're doing a good thing. Maybe we should press on doing the same thing. Right? It's good work. There's lots of emails like that, a whole folder of these comments people have, hundreds of them. People say that this is, we're helping, we're being helped by this, we're learning so much by this. It's the first time the Bible makes sense to me. I wish there was a church in my area. Jeremy helps me with the emails now. There's a whole other folder where people are asking us, is there a church in my area? And we go, we don't know of any. Right? We're doing a good work here. And if you're persuaded this is the right thing, you're a part of it. And we need to press on doing this work to become the pattern. Paul was the pattern first. We're becoming a pattern for people. That's your goal. That's what God would have you be. Okay? You need to learn the doctrine. You need to be a pattern for others. Learning the doctrine, being mature in the doctrine, to help others learn the doctrine. You become the pattern. Become the faithful workman. The third question I'm asking this morning is, did you rest in the Lord last year? So I beat your toes a little bit. You know, did you do some work? Have we done the work? Have we done it good enough? We saw some fruits of it at the seminar. We see fruits of it, people emailing me all the time that you often aren't privy to. But perhaps you've got some testimonies, and we've heard them throughout the last year, of people giving their testimonies on how they've been helped. We heard it this morning with Joel and his family. How it's helped. They're helped by this ministry. They're helped by the Bible rightly divided in this faithful work. But did you rest in the Lord? You say, well, yeah, I've been doing a lot of work. And I keep hearing you talk about doing work. I'm trying to do the work, and we're studying, and it's hard work. And we're trying. We're doing work. We're trying to grow. Don't forget to rest. Don't forget to take time to say, you know what? Why are we doing this? It's for the Lord. Okay. One of the things I've learned by preparing lessons every week is that I can't preach a lesson very well if I don't get rested up. Okay. I can push myself and make things up and strain myself, but it's just not good unless it's coming from my heart, unless I'm rested up, unless I've studied the Bible on my own, unless I've prayed about it. And some of you who are starting to prepare your lessons, you know that. Unless it's already in you, you're not going to talk about it. You got to have five times in you as what you speak out. Because otherwise, you feel they're prepared. You don't know what to say. And so, are you taking a rest? Sometimes workmen need to be encouraged. And so you say, well, I've learned the doctrine, and I know how to be a soldier. I'm even doing some work. We're helping with the seminars. We're doing this stuff. But sometimes workmen get tired. And when you labor, you get drained. And you need recharged. You need encouraged. And this is why the church isn't even... It's not a good illustration to call the church a school or even an armory, because it's a place where you also rest up. It's a place where you come who are mature and hard doing the work, and you come here to be encouraged by people who are also doing the work, you see. Because it can be lonely. It can be tiring doing the work with your family, doing the work with your friends, doing the work with people who just will not see it. and you're surrounded by the affairs of this life, you're constantly being entangled with these things, it can be weary, right? So what do? Well, we meet together. We meet together, and we need to be strengthened with one another by God's word rightly divided. There's a peace that only comes after you rest. Those of you who like sleep know what I'm talking about, right? You wake up, and you feel rested after a good night's sleep, and we need to learn to rest, but rest in the Lord. Okay, and this is something we need to be doing. It's not that we learn the doctrine, we do the work, and let's have a break, let's take a rest. And that means we'll go back to our flesh and go back to what we wanted to do in the world, and that's our break. Our break from serving the Lord is serving ourselves. Our break from serving the Lord is doing what I used to do before I was saved. Because I like doing that. That's why you did it, right? That's something to consider. Because sometimes that is a stumbling block to you. That'll hinder your growth. You say, now I've got to work when I'm resting. No, that's not how it is. It's a change of mind, you see. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 6. It says, the husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. Paul's been talking about here, faithful workmen, you being the soldier, not being entangled, and striving for mastery to do God's work right. In verse 6, he says, and if you're the one doing that, Timothy, the one that labors needs to be the first one that eats the fruits. I don't know if people still do it today in the 21st century. So many white-collar jobs now, computer work. But it used to be, the husband, the father, they're working all day. They come home. They're the first one to eat the meal because they've been working. They've been working hard, right? The husbandman here, the laborer who provides for the food at the table, he's tired. He needs energy. Without making that guy energized, you're not going to have food tomorrow. That's what the church provides as well. We need faithful workmen. We need people doing labor. But you know what? The laborers should be the first ones to partake of what we're doing here as well. Because you need to realize who you are in Christ and the glories of God's grace and the spiritual blessings that can be practiced in the church. Because you need that comfort as a laborer. Because it can get lonesome. It can get tiring. You can think, I'm spinning my wheels. So you need to partake of the fruits. Those fruits aren't fruits of the flesh. They're fruits of the Spirit. Okay? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's a hard thing. That's a real change of mind there. But are we changing our minds in that way? Have we been doing that work where I know we've been changing what we know about the doctrine and how God operates and dispensationalism, and then we learn what work we ought to be doing and we participate in the work. But are we changing our minds to such a degree that our affections are no longer on the things of this earth? You say, well, I don't want to be so heavenly minded. I'm no earthly good, right? Well, here's the good part about you being on the earth is that you can preach the things of heaven. You see, that's what's good about you. Is that you can have the mind of Christ, that you can know heavenly things, and you can't get off this planet until you die. You see? So there's no way you can be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. It's that you're heavenly minded, that you're good for the earth. Because you have this ministry. You see? So to set your affections on things above, to rejoice in the Lord always. Do you, in every way, rejoice in the Lord? Always? What we should be doing. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer. Prayer is important for the saint who's doing ministry work, the saint who's trying to learn and doesn't yet know. You need prayer. Because it says in verse 7, the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We'll keep them. And that's the important part, that you keep, that you hold fast, that you grow. Okay? And so you see here the way you can rest in the Lord. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, Paul talks about the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And you've probably all heard lessons taught about Galatians 5 and songs sung about them. Galatians 5, verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The church is supposed to teach right doctrine and instruct you in what the truth is, but it's also supposed to encourage you to crucify your flesh. Talk about this on the seminar a little bit. And when you do that and you walk in the Spirit, you'll see and be able to taste and experience this fruit right here naturally. Okay? And if you're out there laboring and doing work and you're tired of it, okay, this is what you need. A little bit of love. A little bit of joy. I want some peace of mind because it feels like I'm not getting anywhere. Right? Some long-suffering, some gentleness, some goodness. You need to realize what is good. Right? We hear testimonies. One of the benefits of giving people's testimonies is that you realize a good thing when you hear it. You realize the good thing of preaching the gospel clearly and the Bible rightly divided. Okay? See, that's a good thing. Well, that's a fruit of the Spirit, you see. Because suddenly you realize the spiritual thing of gospel preaching and Bible study is good. Because without hearing that testimony, without coming to church and hearing what the Bible says, you know what you would think is good? The same things my flesh think is good. Good food, good entertainment. You know, that's good stuff, right? Actually, we need to crucify that flesh and walk in the Spirit. Because there's goodness there, and it is goodness. To know that, as I read those testimonies online, of people learning about right doctrine for the first time, being saved. Okay, so this is goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit. When we rest, we need to rest in these things. We need to go to a place where these fruits are exhibited. And I hope we're doing that here. I hope, at least in part, there's some of those happening here. Or we're learning how to do that, walking in the Spirit. So the last question we ask is, where do we hope to go? Where do we hope to go? Have you found your church yet? Hopefully this is a church that you can be a part of. Have you broken a sweat for the Lord? Hopefully we've been doing some work and learning how to do that here and encouraging you to do work. Hopefully we've been encouraging you to grow yourself. It's not just busy work we're trying to do. We're not just trying to create people who do things, but for you to grow and to be mature so that you rejoice in the Lord. You have the mind of Christ. You set your affections on things above. So where do we go next year? Where do we hope to go? Okay, well, this is where I give you a grand scheme of the great success we're going to have in the next 12 months. Based on a record attendance at the seminar, we're going to see a multitude of souls saved if you come, right? Or if you give, right? I'm going to hype up 2015 as the greatest year yet. Don't want to miss it. And it's going to be hype, right? Churches are great at hype. In fact, they're so good at hype recently because our culture likes things that are epic, right? We live in an epic culture. Everything's got to be big. If it's not big, what's the point? Epic. Even our failures are epic, right? It's epic. It's huge. It's big. So where do we hope to go? And when I say, well, you know what? Next year is going to be a lot like this year. Isn't that a letdown? Oh, I thought it was going to be something great. Right? I thought it was going to be, wow, at least hype it up for me. People want hype. They like getting that feeling and getting let down later when it wasn't as good as they were hyped up to me. I don't want to do that. I'm going to tell you the truth. Is that next year, if we're going the right direction, it's going to be the same thing as last year. Taking steps in the right direction. It's going to be the same as, it should be the same as next year, the year after that, the year after that. If we're going the right direction, and that's what the evaluation is supposed to determine, let's keep going in that direction. Let's continue pressing on in the right direction. But churches like to hype things up, don't they? You know the difference between hype and what I'm trying to do this morning, which is to encourage you, is this letter Y. You know, when you hype things up, people ask, why in the world did you do that? Because it just lets them down, right? But when you learn why we come to church and why you need to study the Bible and you get the answers to that question that Joel drew on the board, you get the answers to those things, you go, oh, I get it. There's a real hope. And that's a foreword right there. Put that in an email and forward it to your grandma. Not to me. I don't want to. But it's a real hope, you see. There's a real hope we have of glory. We don't have some promise that if we do the same thing we did last year, next year, we will reap 100-fold with our nets. And there's the whole town of Swayze is going to be converted. I wish. Let's keep trying for that, but there's no promise of it. There's no promise of it. Okay? Hopefully we'll see souls saved, but even if we don't, we're going to try to preach the gospel. That's what we're to do, communicate. We're supposed to present it clearly. Stand fast. Paul says, hold fast. Get the truth and hold it. Keep it. Just continue on. But we need to remember our hope and glory. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Why are we doing this? Is it just busy work? No. It's because we serve a real God. He's our Lord. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, remember, Paul says to Timothy, who's facing discouragement and is ashamed of pursuing the ministry that Paul had him do because it's going to face opposition, it's going to be hard work, and if I just went along to go along with people, then it'd be a lot easier time of it. And Paul's encouraging him to hold fast, to follow the doctrine he's learned of him. And 2 Timothy 2:8 says, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, Paul's gospel. Okay? Christ was raised from the dead according to our gospel. He was raised from the dead to give you eternal life. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Romans 6, 23. It's the gift of God that's eternal life, you see. Christ didn't resurrect in order to usher in the kingdom for you. He resurrected to make you a new person, to put you a part of a new creature of the body of Christ, to give you a resurrection. I was talking in between sessions here about healing and how some pastors want to claim a healing, and people want to claim a healing because they're sick and they're dying and they want to be healed. The healing program God has instituted for you is resurrection. The glory that will come in the future, maybe not next year, maybe not the following year, is when the Lord returns or you die, whichever comes first. Glory. That's the hope you have. Okay, the hope of glory. You're in a battle now. You're in a different place now. You're not in glory right now. You're not in God's kingdom glory right now. You're a workman in a present evil world that needs to learn how to soldier, or else you're going to have problems being that soldier. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, remember Paul's gospel, it says, wherein, verse 9, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. We don't yet in our country have that fear that you suffer evil as an evildoer yet. Someplace in the world, they're killing women. They're killing men because they're Christian. They won't convert. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. See, Paul's affections are on the eternal things, right? It's a real thing, folks. This is not pie in the sky. And the difference between the hype and the hope is that hope is based on a truth. When you have faith and understand information, what's real, it turns it from hype to hope. Right? You have a real hope because it's going to happen. Just a matter of time. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, it's eternal glory that you've been promised. Verse 11 says, it is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. There's two ways to take that verse. Number one is when you're crucified with Christ, you're going to have eternal life. But also, if you crucify yourself to do work for the Lord now, you'll experience that life of Christ now. Paul says to live as Christ, to die as gain. What he meant by that was being here is like Christ coming down to a foreign planet, facing the sufferings, but he's doing it to save people. And that's what you are. You're in Christ's place on the earth, ministering to people to see them saved. Okay? With the gospel of Christ of salvation. So Paul says if we be dead with him, if we crucify ourselves, not entangle ourselves with the things of this world, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. There's a promise of eternal reign, eternal glory that you can be a part of through our faithfulness, our pressing on to do right work. Okay? In verse 12 there. Let's go to Philippians 3, verse 12. You say, where do you get this title, pressing on? Where does that come from? Well, Philippians 3 is where Paul talks about pressing on. Philippians 3, verse 12. We should have our affection so much on the things of eternal glory with God that we want to experience it now. As much as we can, we want to, as Paul says, attain to the resurrection of the dead. People should see us and say, wow, that's like a totally new person ministering something he wouldn't have before. Well, yeah, that's because I'm crucified with Christ and I've got a job to do. That doesn't happen magically. That takes your wanting to. Christ died for you, right? You need to crucify yourself to serve him. Verse 12 in Philippians 3 verse 12 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. We don't come here because we're all perfect. last year we weren't perfect. We're not going to be perfect next year. Our goal next year is not for all of us to be perfect by the end of the year. It's not going to happen. Right? Paul says it's not as we've already attained. It's the direction he's going. He says, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Christ has given us a resurrected position. We press on towards that. There's no way you can reach heaven from here. Gravity is too strong. Right? You can't do it. But we press on. We're looking for it. We're saying we need to be like that. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that's last year, reaching forth unto those things which are before, next year. It says in verse 14, I press toward the mark. I keep going. I press on. I continue. I press toward the mark. What's the mark? For the prize. So a runner runs the race to reach the mark, the ribbon, right? And he gets the prize. That's why we're doing it. We're running to get the prize. Well, what's the prize? It's right here in the verse. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God. A low calling would be what Christians are now trying to do, which is what's God's calling for your life? And the answer is always an earthly vocation. Right? What's God's calling for your life? Well, I'm supposed to be a garbage man. That's a rare bird right there. You find that. You grab him. Philippians 3, verse 14. The high calling of God is you as an ambassador. You serving the Lord, you see. You are positioned in heavenly places. That's the prize. Remember, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. There are positions up there. There's responsibility. There's, can I say it without being too carnal? There's wealth up there, you see. And how hard do we work for it here? Wealth. Earthly wealth. Temporary wealth. There's wealth up there that you will be rewarded with for your service to the Lord. Not because you earned your salvation, because you're an ambassador down here and he wants to know that you're pressing on, you're faithful to do his work. Philippians 3, verse 14, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says we press on. It means continuing. Colossians 1:28, Paul says where he was laboring in his ministry, to make all men perfect, is what he said. Colossians 1:28. We preach Christ according to the mystery, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. You're never going to get there. We already saw that. But the goal is that you would be perfect in Christ Jesus. So you see, it's not me. You're not following a man. Because if you're just supposed to be where I was last year, you're never going to grow past where I was last year. You're not following me. You're following the Lord. So if you surpass me, great. Do it. Grow to a point where I can sit down and you can lead the charge. Or perhaps I'll lead the charge here, you lead the charge there, you see? Soldiering together. Okay? We need to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul labors for that. He strives according to this in verse 29. So 2 Timothy 2:2, our goal is to make faithful workmen, is what he tells Timothy. And 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul tells Timothy to continue. Timothy 3, verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We talked about being perfect. We talked about striving for the perfection in Christ. Well, how do we do that? It says here, all scripture is able to do that. So we study the Bible, rightly divided. And that's how we are to grow. Look back at where you were at last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Have you moved? Have you grown? Do you have greater understanding from God's word, rightly divided? Let's keep doing that. Okay? Where do you lack? Let me know. Let's talk about it. Let's get our questions answered so we can continue to grow. Okay? You need encouragement? You're doing some work? How do I do it? Where do I do it? I need some motivation? Let's meet together and give that one to another. Okay? We need to have that encouragement. We need to be a part of a church that stabilizes you, so that you're able to serve the Lord. A church should be stabilizing. It should be something, I don't want to sound too mystical here, being a part of church and doing church ministry Or that be Grace Ambassador of some other church that teaches the Bible rightly divided from a King James Bible. You should be a part of a church the rest of your life, you see. Wherever you move to, you need to be a part of that work or start one, right? A lot of people choose churches because their family goes there. And we have a lot of young families in our assembly with children and teenagers, and they're going to grow up, and who knows what's going to happen. I'm sure there's going to be an employment surge in Swayze in the next 4 or 5 years, so all you teenagers can look for a job there, right? No. So families move away, right? What happens then when the family moves away? What happens when the family doesn't agree with you anymore if you're choosing your church based on family? Okay, if you're choosing your church based on doctrine, that's the thing that you'll grow with continually, that will grow you, okay? That needs to be a part of your life. You need to be part of a church that you can, cliche coming up, believe in, right? That you can learn to grow in, that Christ is the head, that the Bible is believed, okay? That you can do the work of the ministry. We can't do it all from Swayze, Indiana, so we ask, what can we do next year? What do we hope to go? What do we hope to do? We can't do everything next year. We can't do everything in a lifetime. I got personal plans. Well, and people have asked me, well, we need a commentary from the Bible Rightly Divided, a mid-acts commentary. You know how long it takes to do that? There's 66 books in the Bible. I'm kind of young relative to older people, but I don't know if I have time left for this. And this is talking like 50 years down the road. It takes a long time to do some things. And we can't do it all. We can't even do it all if all of us were working every hour of the day in the next 50 years. We can't do it all. We need to go beyond our lifetimes. We need other people to get on board, to help out. That's the only way we can get more done. And by more done, I mean seeing souls saved and saints edified. It is the work, right? Doing the responsibility God's given us. And so our objective for 2015, what is it? Be faithful. It's easy. I told you the same message every year. It's continuing in right doctrine, being faithful to it. Okay? And if there's any way that we can improve that, let me know. Because we need to do that together. Any questions? Any comments? Okay. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the guidance you provided for us to establish church and to operate thereby, to grow and to affect our lives in such a way that we can serve you and inherit eternal glory. We thank you for the folks here. We thank you for your grace. And we look forward to another year of service to do your will. Amen.